as I began this week, I began with the intentions of speaking on two other scripture verses, and then of course God had a little bit different plans for us this Sunday morning. As many of you probably read yesterday in the Upper Room's devotion, there was a great story, or a great little devotion, about God revealing His presence in our lives. And sometimes we say to ourselves, well, how do we know that it's God speaking? How do you know? And a lot of people will say to me, well, God doesn't speak to me like He does to you, like you're the only one God speaks to, and then you're supposed to tell us. And that's not really the way it works. God reveals Himself to all of us and speaks to all of us every single day of our lives. We sing the song, He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. And then people the next day say to me, God doesn't speak to me. And I say, yes, He does. The key is learning to understand that it's God that's speaking to us. And I want to talk about that a little today. The lady that wrote the devotion in the Upper Room for yesterday is a lady by the name of Meg Mangan from New South Wales in Australia. She writes, early one morning I was out walking in the quiet and peaceful countryside. After the first turn on my walk, I came across a shady patch of road where the breeze was gentle and soothing and fragrant. A little further on, I saw a wisteria bush bearing four sprigs of blossoms, fragile and delicate, in exquisite shades of purple. Around another turn, I heard the distant laughing call of kookaburras. Whenever I hear these birds, it seems to me that God is sharing a joke with whoever chooses to listen. After I turned back, the three-quarter moon caught my eye. It was high in the western sky, and it shone bright in the blue of the early morning heavens. You ever see that? It's awesome, isn't it? Four things, she says, caught my attention that morning. None of these was of great importance by itself, but I saw in them a message from God that Jesus, Emmanuel, brought to the world. I'm with you in the big things and in the little things. At every twist and turn of life, I am there. The thought for the day for that devotion is, what is God showing me today? And the prayer was, loving Father, help us to notice you and what is going on around us. And the prayer focus was to watch for God each day. Now, as I thought about this a little bit, people say, how do you know it's God speaking? When my wife and I read that yesterday, right away, it was almost like floodgates opening up. And things started to pour in about this, from this devotion. And I started to think about the scriptures and turn to the scriptures and all of the ways throughout the thousands of pages of scripture that we have that it shows us God reveals Himself to us. But more so, I ask, why? Why does God do this? And there's only one answer. It's been the answer since the beginning of time. It'll be the answer until Christ comes again. It'll be the answer for eternity, because God loves us. And He wants to reveal Himself to us, because when He does, we can fully know how much He loves us. As I was looking at that on the internet site of the Upper Room, there are comments that people write in. And Joe wrote in a very interesting comment that said, thank you, Meg. Never thought of God sending me and all His children love letters. But you're right. He makes His presence known in so many ways. Love from others. Beauty all around us. His assuring nod when we do something in His name are all love letters or acknowledgments from Him that He is always with us and aware of our needs. I said to my wife after we read that the other day, I said, why don't people see God in their lives every day? Why don't they recognize God? And my wife said to me, and we came to the conclusion in our discussion, that it's because people don't know God's word. They don't recognize God because they don't know God or they don't believe God's word. In Matthew chapter 1, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. The word angel in the Bible, in many instances, in that language, implies a messenger. A messenger or a shepherd that has a message to lead others to a certain point. You say, hark, the herald angels sing. They're God's heralds to proclaim good news, to lead people in a certain direction. And what happens when people follow that direction, they start to see God and they start to learn more about God. They start to understand God as much as we humanly can. But most of all, they start to recognize God. And the key is because they believed God's word. The angel said something to Joseph, and Joseph believed it and did it. In the second chapter of Luke's gospel, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. And they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. Shepherds, there they were, nighttime, out on the hillsides watching over the flocks. All the sermons about what they were doing there, what time of year it really was, they were watching over sheep for the temple, all that. We're going to lay that aside this morning. I want you to think about this. There they were, stinky shepherds, sitting out around the campfires, watching the sheep. All of a sudden, a herald of the Lord, an angel, comes to them. An angel of the Lord appears to them. And the Lord's glory shines all around them. They were literally in the presence of Almighty God with God's herald, the angel, there before them. And I don't know about you, but a lot of experiences that I've had with the Lord are terrifying. I wake up in the night terrified, scared to death. I know that it's been the Lord speaking to me. But the angel says to them, don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of, because what I bring is good news of great joy that's going to be for all people, everybody. This is the Lord's word I'm bringing to you. I'm bringing good news. I'm the Lord's messenger, and the message I have is good news. That today, in the town of David, a Savior's been born. He's Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Some translations say he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. The cloths, strips of cloths that they wrap the baby in to kind of hold the baby together, newborn baby, to protect them. Okay? Now I want you to think again. Shepherds. Lowly shepherds. Okay? In the town of David, tiny town of Bethlehem at the time, a Savior's been born in a baby. Baby. That was the message from God. And if you go and see that, you'll find this baby wrapped in cloths. And then a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." So the angels left them, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go. Let's go down there and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So you see, they had the message of the Lord, and they decided to check it out. Had they not checked that out, think of how history would have been changed. Think of how their lives would have been so much different had they not checked it out. Think of what they would have missed if they wouldn't have gone down there in that night in the darkness into that little tiny town to look for a baby in a manger. They hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. They had the Lord's word, so they investigated it. This was CSI. See, this was like CSI. This was an investigation taking place to see if the evidence was there of what God said was true. But so many times, I think this is where people stumble to see God something happens or something's said to them, and they don't investigate it. If they don't investigate it, they never have the testimony to tell, which is exactly what happened with the shepherds. They investigated it, saw that it was there, found the baby, and went and told people. This is exactly how it was. We have the evidence. We investigate it, and we found out it's true. They hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, here's the key. This is nothing more than a faith story. It's a true story about some men who received the word of the Lord. Something strange happened on those hilltops that night. Unexplainable. Beyond what human understanding could explain, happened. The glory of the Lord shone around them. I doubt they knew the prophecies. They weren't scholars, they were shepherds. Maybe they did. I know in that day, in that time, it was anticipated, highly anticipated, that there was a Messiah coming and that it was about to happen in that time period. There was that anticipation among the culture and the society of that day. And many women who had children were looking, hoping that their child was that Messiah. But here was this word of God. The shepherds checked it out. They examined it to see if what happened was in line with God's word given to them through the angels. They went and they found this is true. This is exactly what's going on. And they went and gave the testimony that it was just as they were told. God's word was true. You know, folks, I have a book at home that's probably about this thick. It's put out by the National Audubon Society. It helps me identify birds. Now, I like birds, but I can't tell you, in some cases, one bird from another. Of course, except for geese and pheasants. But unless I open that book, I cannot identify when I see these birds. Yeah, there's a bird. What is it? I don't know. It's a bird. And I keep on going. But without the book, I never have that wonderful experience of knowing what that beautiful bird is. But you see, it's checking God's word out. In that way, we're going to know. We're going to see. We're going to hear. Because God's word is consistent. It's consistent. That's how I knew God was calling me into pastoral ministry. It was consistent from the beginning to the end with God's word. And the Holy Spirit will never contradict what's written in here. So how do we know? First of all, we've got to check it out. We've got to check it out. No matter how minute it seems, the littlest things. I had a dream last night. Somebody said to me the other day, a strange thing happened to me today at work. I got a card in the mail. I got a phone call the other night. In the littlest things, God reveals His presence and His glory in a little tiny baby. In a little tiny village of Bethlehem, at nighttime, to shepherds, doesn't make sense, does it? But it was God's word and it was truth, and they checked it out and they found it was just as they had been told, that it was just as God said. In our faith journey, no matter how minute something might seem, it is vitally important to constantly be in God's word. In fact, if we know God's word and God's word is written on our heart, when those things happen, we can say, ah, the Bible says something about that. And we do start to recognize it as God. And we know that God is present among us. So we look at our scriptures today and we say, so what? You know, we're taught in school in our classes to always read the scriptures, write our sermons out till the cows come home, but then stop and ask ourselves, so what? Big deal, right? Here's the so what. God is sending us messages, love letters, every single day of our lives. Good news, messages of great joy. I am God. I am the creator of the heavens and the earth. I am present in your life. I am here. I'm your protector. I'm your redeemer. I am God Almighty. Love letters in the manger in Bethlehem. A love letter to all of us. That God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Wow, what a love letter. I love you so much that I sent my Son to die for you. Secondly, we have a choice. We can either check it out or we can just keep going on our way. And I can't tell you folks how sorry I feel for people who just keep on going and they never stop to investigate or to ask the questions. And I'll tell you, when you ask God, I don't understand this, God. I don't understand why this is happening. God, I don't have a clue. I need a clue, God. I need understanding. God will give it to you. But he's not going to if we just keep on going. The shepherds would have just said, oh, wow, that was weird. Yeah, what are you drinking? Well, what are you smoking? Yeah, well, it must have been that sandwich you just ate a little while ago. You know, it had a lot of onions on it, you know. These were shepherds in the presence of Almighty God who went, they took God's word to heart and they checked it out and they found it to be true. Imagine what they would have missed had they not done that. Thirdly, it's vitally important that we integrate the Bible into our lives. I don't care whether you read this every day or whether you get this out and get your Hebrew and your Greek language books. But it's ultimately the most important thing in our lives that we integrate this into our lives every single day. Your life won't be changed until you do. Fourthly, ignoring God's messages diminishes our joy. These shepherds were filled with joy. They were filled with joy, praising God because they didn't ignore God's messages. And lastly, a baby? Bethlehem? Shepherds? Yeah, how else would God do it? So that everybody can know and understand. We don't have to be Bible scholars. We don't have to be preachers. We don't have to know the Greek and the Hebrew. All we have to do is be willing in faith to check it out, to ask the questions, to integrate God's word into our lives every single day, and it'll start to come together beyond what you can imagine. You'll start to see the face and the working of God in your life. You will start to understand that it's God that's working. And I guarantee you, you'll grow stronger in your faith. And most importantly, you will be filled to overflowing with joy, knowing that God has revealed his presence in your own personal life. I want you to think about that. In your own personal life, God is interested in you. He's present in the little things. He's there day in and day out, revealing his presence, writing you love letters and wanting you to know that he loves you in the little things of life. Let's pray. God, sometimes we don't